All right, we're going to start our last talk of this morning. Craig Russell, I'll let you introduce yourself and your talk.
I'm an educator, fascinating thinking, learning, teaching. Central mission of ASA, helping people learn and teach and think more effectively. Evaluative thinking, critical thinking. One of the keys to teaching is activities. You notice the verbs here: recognize, minimize, construct, evaluate, discuss. And my favorite, most influential high school teacher, Monday and Tuesday. He was a great lecturer. He also had debates. He would convince us on Monday one side of the issue. Guess what he did on Tuesday? And we learned after we'd been through that a number of times. Very last slide. I won't be able to talk about it, but there's a lot of links. In fact, a key to this is PowerPoint's much, much more than 25 minutes. And this is in the abstract. Type the link in, lots of information, much more detailed coherence. It's not working. Well, what's going on here? This is not working, this is not working, that's not working.
Okay, let's try here. Let me just step in here.
Hey, you did it.
All right.
Excellent. All right, this is science. Okay? What you do is you get an experimental system, you do two kinds of experiments. Mental experiment, you imagine what will happen, you make predictions. Physical experiment, you actualize a system, you make observations. Compare to see if the way you think the world is matches the way the world really is. Okay? But there's also my PhD work was basically constructing a model of scientific method and using it for analysis of education. And I had three different kinds of evaluation factors: empirical, what we just looked through, foundation of science, conceptual, is it elegant, Occam's razor, and how does it fit with other theories that you have accepted. Cultural, personal, cultural, sociological, personal, psychological. Here is simplified part of the model down in here, those three factors. The original complicated version down in there. This is what I'm working on now. Very excited about it. Up in this region is what we just looked at. But if you're doing problem solving, what you can do is you can compare. Let's say you got an option for a problem solution. How do you know it's good or mediocre or bad? You compare it with your goals. What would be an ideal solution for your problem? Goals. Okay? So this particular, you predict what it would be like. How does it compare with goals? You observe what actually happens when you do it. How does it compare with goals? So this is really exciting, and we'll talk about it here. Fuller model, fairly simple. You generate options, evaluate options. This is a little bit more detailed how you do those things. Faith, science, issues, three big ones. I'm going to begin with number three at least a little bit because it's more familiar. These are a little bit strange, foreign to the way we think. Young Earth creation, most of you are very familiar with it. My feelings are that there are really strong science arguments against young Earth, young universe position. There also are very strong, because it fails the reality checks. When you compare predictions of young Earth with what we observe. It fails in a lot of different areas of science. If the Earth is young, kind of means all of these areas of science, we have to change them, and basically it would trash a lot of modern science. I don't think that's a good idea. There also are a lot of cultural, personal factors for the scientists and for their audience. I tend to have very different views, maybe get into that a little bit later, between the two of them. Basically, I think the scientists maybe have a lot of cognitive dissonance. They're smart. They know a lot. Do they kind of realize when they're awake in the middle of the night, maybe it doesn't quite fit? The audience, they trust. These are the authorities. And lots of cultural, personal factors going on in this. In fact, everybody that ever talks about this says, begin with theology, begin with the Bible, then get into the science. I'll talk a little bit, but not much. Most of the talk will be about 1 and 2. Empathy. Try to figure out how they are feeling about this. You know, when they go into their church discussions, if they're in homeschooling, everybody else is young Earth. If they're not, they have to answer a lot of questions. And here we go. This is a summary of quantum physics. One of these, I think, is very strong scientifically. The other one is kind of a toss-up, or nobody knows. Okay, this is the one that I think is strong. Conscious human observation is not needed to make things happen. In fact, it's almost always irrelevant. Think about it. 13.8 billion years, humans have been around for very little of that. How did the universe do? Did it need us to do it? Okay. Another one is, this is kind of a toss. Oh, that's observation not needed. Very strongly supported by the scientists who work in this. What I'm against is what some people call quantum mysticism, quantum flapdoodle, one of the people scientists called it. Many worlds interpretation. This is a very, very strange, and I'll get into why I think it's theologically horrible. Quantum decoherence, I think, is a much better explanation than quantum mysticism, why things happen. Levels. It's really difficult. I'll have later a quote by Richard Feynman to avoid going crazy when you're thinking about quantum. Use quantum common sense for quantum level, macroscopic common sense for the macroscopic level. Okay, Schrodinger's cat. How many people here know about Schrodinger's cat experiment? Ah, good. The original version used radioactive atom. I like thinking about it in terms of a wall, much more concrete. During this region here, the electron is a wave. Okay, you're shooting electrons through a double slit. Their waves kind of spread out. When they hit the wall, bam, all of a sudden they are a particle in a certain place. Rules of our cat game, if it hits in the top half, cat lives. Bottom half, cat dies. It's a mean game, right? These are some observation. I really wish they had used a different word back in late 20s, early 30s, when the quantum physicists were talking about philosophy, figuring out all of it. Because observation means one thing in the quantum common sense, really different in the macroscopic to people. When somebody says observation, it means something to you. It means something really different in quantum physics. Okay? And most of the things, human passive observation, does something go out of our eyes like an extramission theory of vision? Very popular until around the Renaissance. No. Okay? So this is authors shift between meanings, I think, with intention to deceive, or maybe they don't understand. And the readers, actually, they want to be fooled. The big thing in the quantum mysticism, you create your own reality. That's powerful. People want to believe that, and they like being told that their desire is supported by science. The reification of, you know, beliefs, science makes it correct. Okay, powerful psychological influence. Do we create reality? I've got a page about this. You can click that link. We have human independent realities, like solar system, humanly constructed realities like our theories about solar system. Between 1500 and 1700, what changed, what did not? Our theories changed, solar system did not. One of the things we don't change is quantum events by our observations. Okay? There are some really important things that do. By the way we think, the way we live. One of my favorite, Romans 12, let God transform you inwardly by complete change of your mind. That's essence of life, essence of Christian living. Do we create the universe? This is so far out. Remember I talked about the 13.8 billion years? Some people, Barrow and Tipler, they actually propose this as something to consider seriously. We are necessary to create the universe, intelligent observers of some kind. People, dog, God, just bizarre. Okay? Another variation of the cat experiment, kind of like the universe making a little bit more macroscopic. You wait for 2 weeks. You have a cat, 2 weeks of water and food, if it survives. Typewriter types on paper, top or bottom. Camera takes a video. After 2 weeks, what happens? Okay, one explanation, quantum mysticism. They have to come up with a mechanism. If they say the observation that you did 2 weeks later makes it happen, one way or the other, they have to propose a mechanism for how does something go out from the human eyes or nose, in case the cat didn't make it. Does it go out of your eyes, time travel back 2 weeks, and cause the result? Not likely. And I think Bohr agreed on this. I was just reading Stanford Philosophy Encyclopedia, and they said Bohr had no problem with Schrodinger's cat. He said, cat fate is not determined when we look in it. Don is not, and Lauren, so, and others. Better explanation, quantum decoherence. Sort of analogous to...
Yeah, I can bring my water.
Sort of analogous to second law of thermodynamics. When you go from tiny events that are reversible to bigger events, you get time irreversibly. Same kind of thing happens with decoherence at the quantum level. Okay? So just like it's a good bet to bet on second law of thermo, Decoherence also gives you a good way to bet on what happens, and it explains why. Okay, don't mismatch the levels. The quantum mystical authors, one of the things they do is they say, well, this happens at the quantum level, therefore it happens at the macro level. No, not necessarily, not usually. Okay? Strange behavior at the quantum level produces the normal behavior in everyday experience at the macro levels. If quantum level was not strange, we would not have the normal experiences we do. So match. Quantum level, quantum logic, macro level, macro logic. Limits of strangeness. This is from Richard Feynman, Nobel Prize winner. Don't go crazy saying, how can it be like that? Nobody knows. Okay? To understand quantum level events, you got to be creative to really use your imagination to imagine the strangeness. But you got to be critical. So yes, things really are strange, but no, they're not as strange as some people say they are. The quantum mystical people, the quantum flapdoodle people, no. Scientists are very down on that kind of mysticism. All right, many worlds interpretation. This is a major part of, I think theologically it's an absolutely horrible idea. Scientifically, it is seems reasonable to do it or not do it, kind of aesthetic preference. What it claims is that, remember the wall, where does electron hit? Many worlds says it hits everywhere. Everywhere it could hit, it does. In different realities that branch off. Very strange. MWA, what happens? Everything. Not just for experiments, but for all events in the whole universe from the beginning. Okay, imagine how many quantum events are happening every second, split second, going on for 14 billion years. It's a lot of branching. It's just mind-boggling how big it is. Okay, scientifically plausible, I don't like it. Okay, so there is my cultural, personal bias coming in there, opinions. Well, theology, I think it's bad theological. Okay, we'll look at many worlds. Not necessary, and I think not Christian. All right, multiverse. Apologetics value and theology. So we'll look at both of those. Intelligent design of nature. Okay, scientists discovered that the properties of the universe are just right for lots and lots of different, for life. Okay? Some explanations, maybe we live in a universe or a multiverse, maybe it's designed or not designed. Four possibilities. One of these, I think, is very implausible. The other ones, possible. Robin Collins, for example, says, if there was a multiverse that was useful for getting rid of intelligent design, probably would have to be designed. So that's a possibility also. Okay, my preference would be that no multiverse, and we could very strongly claim, look, here's a reason to believe in God, the design of the universe. Okay, but I think God does not want us to have a slam dunk argument. For or against, he wants us to learn to live by faith, and so that's a part of it, maybe. That's a preference. Here is some logic. You can look at this later if you want by clicking the link at the end of the abstract. Poker hands. You got one poker hand. Is it likely you're going to get a royal flush? No. What if you dial 9 million hands? It's almost certain you will. Okay. That's with a multiverse with a huge number of different kinds of universes due to string theory. Then the odds shift in favor of having a universe like ours with the properties of nature that allow life. Okay, this is the other part of it, theology. Okay, that was intelligent design. We're shifting into theology. Theology of judgment and sovereignty. Those two things kind of go along together in this. And if you look here, one universe, many universes, I think both of these are okay. In either a universe like ours, it's only one, or a multiverse with a lot of them. MWI, many world interpretation, I think is bad in both of these. Okay. Why? One of the things, some people, if there are a really huge, immense number of universes, eventually we're going to get a universe like ours, and there's going to be people like you, duplicates. Okay? Sometimes they talk about an infinite number. I don't like that. Large number. Okay? Would that be a problem? No. You're not an omnipotent, omnipresent being. You are here and now, right? You're responsible for what you do here and now, your faith and your actions, not anybody, duplicates in any other universe. If they existed, and I have questions about whether that would even occur. Some people worry about that. In fact, some PSCF articles. Okay. And this is, I'll skip to the graph here. Okay. Imagine that faith is very complex. Imagine that we could boil it down to scale of 0 to 10. Okay. Actions, very complex. Let's imagine we could boil those down to a single axis, a single point. Are you a 7, a 1, 10? Okay. And are they equally important? Kind of implied by having both of these the same length. Not really. Typically, Protestants say faith is the essence of salvation. Maybe rewards based on actions. Okay. Jesus gets tens. A saint, kind of high, but not perfect. Sinner, way down here. What if you're compared to the saint, a little bit less faith, a little bit less good works, or both? Okay, that's in a normal universe. The key here is that each person has one combination of faith and actions. Okay? And that is here. If non-many worlds, each person gets one score for their life. Okay? By contrast, this is kind of wrong. That should be MWI. If many worlds, you get every single score. What's your fate? Well, some of you are zeros, some of you are tens. What's your actions? Well, some of you are zero, and these are all you in many worlds. Just bizarre. How could God judge any of us if this is what it's like? Sovereignty. If everything happens, God makes or allows some things to happen. Throughout the Bible, that's pretty clear. The whole free will and sovereignty, it's complicated, but certainly God has some control. In MWI, no control. Everything happens. Not good for a Christian. All right, that would be a religious reason to accept MWI if you are a non-Christian, and a reason to reject it if you're a Christian. And this is what I just talked about, sovereignty. Theistic views of nature. We don't have to accept non-theistic views of nature. Just like with evolution, we don't say natural process occurs without God. God is in charge of everything that happens, natural, appearing, miraculous appearing. Same with the multiverse. All right, young earth creationism. Here's a diagram from Deborah Harzma. And idea here is scripture, nature. We interpret these to get science and theology. Young earth people compare science with the Bible, not with their interpretation of the Bible. They need a little bit more humility. And I think the framework, I think there definitely, if you study the 6 days, there definitely is a framework. You don't need to have chronological 144-hour history. You can have topical history in the framework. And that's it. Here is my Monday and Tuesday teacher. That's it. Questions?
I like how you point out the problems of many worlds interpretation and a lot of the myths surrounding quantum mechanics. I wonder, though, if you're being a little bit too generous about our understanding of quantum decoherence, because I'm wondering, you cited it explains this transition from the purely deterministic wave function and description of matter to a entirely probabilistic, time irreversible event. That do you think that we've really gotten to a point where quantum decoherence explains that? I mean, so is there in your mind a complete link up of how all that works?
The question is, I've commented about some of the weirdness of quantum mechanics and the interpretations and what some people do with it. However, one of the things I claim was that decoherence is a good explanation of how you get from quantum level to macro level. I think it looks good. Any comments from people who are, yeah?
Yeah, I have a comment. The reason that quantum decoherence isn't one of the interpretations is because it's not a full collapse. It's what Bell called a for all practical purpose collapse. So quantum decoherence doesn't quite make it into the... I agree totally with the question that's the reason that quantum decoherence isn't one of the interpretations.
Comment about quantum decoherence, that it doesn't explain the full range of going from quantum to
you can
macro?
Undo it. You just, like in Stern-Gerlach, in a normal experiment where you can undo the measurement, in quantum, in decoherence, even though it's entangled with 10 to the 100 other particles, in principle, you can undo it.
Well, again,
not for all practical purposes.
Yeah, that's why I said it's analogous to the second law of thermodynamics.
Yeah.
Because
that's right.
In theory, you have a little purple dot here and it spreads out into the water. In principle, it could all go back into the
dot.
Not a good way to bet.
Yes.
Decoherence, analogous, says once you get to the quantum, to the macro level, it's a good way to bet that the mathematical analysis of decoherence explains pretty well.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty convincing, and it has come into being, I think, 90s, 80s. It's become more sophisticated. Didn't exist earlier. So there's a lot of speculations earlier.
Take one more question.
Others?
If not, let's thank all of our speakers.
Oh. One other thing, I assume the other speakers would be up for this also. If you want to talk with any of us, what's happening at Mount Vernon, Ohio, what's happening here, APU, or me, wherever things are happening, we'll be willing to hang around and maybe go to lunch if there are people who want to talk a lot more.